Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is simply this: Do the Right Thing. I'm going to do something kind of unusual today, and I'm going to read you a ton of stuff, and it's for the sake of history. And I'm reading this stuff out of the Old Testament. And there's a period of time when God gave the people of God kings, and it just goes clicks off verse after verse. And a king did this, and I'll read you some of these things. You'll see there's about 47 of one category and about 12 of another. And I want you just to hear what happens. And if you like reading this kind of stuff and want to go back and look at it, it is amazing when the leadership, when the king did the right thing or did not do the right thing, everything else trickled down. And if you're in any position of leadership and you say, well, that counts me out. Let me tell you something. You're a leader, if nothing else, of your own self. You are leading yourself somewhere, doing something. But listen to this. We're going to start in Judges chapter 2. And here we go. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baal. Judges 3:7. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and Asherahs, which are gods of the day. Judges 3:12. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Judges 4:1. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Over and over. Judges 6:1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. 47 times. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And every time you read the passage, and it starts out, and the king or king so-and-so or the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, there's consequence. You read it, you watch it, just like clockwork. It's unbelievable what happens. And then all of a sudden in 2 Kings 12:2, listen to this. Jehoash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, some king all of a sudden says, I'm going to do the right thing. Now, why is it that so many people can do the wrong thing and we can watch so many people do the wrong thing and watch the consequence that comes upon them and not get it? And even in my own life, and I'm going to tell you what, I don't know who this is for, but I can tell you one thing, it's for me. And maybe you're just watching today. But at some point, guys, enough is enough, and you can look at your own life. And I want you to think today about this. What if you sat still long enough and said, okay, God, I'm going to look. I'm going to take a look. If I go from today back in my life and track the decisions that I've made, can I say, if you died today and they were going to put one of two things on your tombstone as your epitaph, would it be so-and-so, they did right in the sight of the Lord, or so-and-so, they did evil in the sight of the Lord? You say, well, I'm not hell-bent on being an evil person. It's just I'm evil by nature. And you're probably right. You're biblically correct. A lot of that is true. We are born with a sin nature. That's just the bent we have. You say, well, why do I keep doing these things? Paul put it this way in the New Testament. He says, the thing that I don't want to do, that's what I do. And the thing that I do want to do, that's what I don't do. And he almost cries out, who will deliver me from the body of this death? I'm sick of feeling this way and living this way. Is there any stopping this? Always doing the wrong thing. And you know what's so interesting about this? These guys ruled in some cases 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And they get a couple of verses. You know why? Because all they did was evil in the sight of the Lord. And it shows the consequence of that, and God goes to the next one. You are a bleep on the screen. All right, let me show you how much of a bleep we are on the screen. You know why we know these kings are? Because they're written down. Somebody name your great-grandfather. One person. Somebody name your great-grandfather. We got one back there. And one over here knows their great-grandfather's name. Somebody named their great-great-grandfather. They're a bleep on the screen. They are gone. You don't remember that many generations back. You wouldn't be here without those people. You know what? They're history. Nobody remembers them. Nobody knows them. Sooner or later, you know what? You're going to be a bleep on the screen. You say, well, who will care? God will care. And every once in a while, you read through here, 2 Kings 18, somebody did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Another one finally down in 2 Chronicles 20, 32. And he walked in the way of his father Asa and did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Who cares whether these guys did the right thing or not? I'm going to tell you what, God cares and the guy that made the decision cares. You say, well, my life's not affecting anybody. Let me tell you something. If you are a father, you are not living in a vacuum. If you are a husband, you are not living in a vacuum. And if you're a single person, you're not living in a vacuum. You're leading your life or not, and choosing to do evil or right in the sight of the Lord is having huge impact on the lives around you. Because if you don't do the right thing, you don't appear to be doing the right thing, you're neutralized for all intents and purposes, and everybody that lives near you, works around you, you go to family reunions, they don't pay any attention. You can talk God all you want to, but if there's not a difference in your heart and in your life, they're not going to pay you attention for that long. They're not going to believe it. You can talk about light, but if there is no light, it's darkness in you and in them, and they're not going to do anything about it. There's a bunch of them in 2 Chronicles 24. It's an awesome thing happens. I don't know what was up here, but 2 Chronicles 24, 2. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. A bunch of those in 26, 27. Then it goes back in 28. He did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. 29, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 33, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Part of what these kings started doing, they started doing what the people that they had supposedly driven out were doing. You know, it's interesting, one of the evils that's mentioned in these kings that did what was evil in the sight of the Lord is they started bringing in psychics. I'll leave it at that. 2 Chronicles 29, 2 did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Anyhow, it goes on. Look at 2 Chronicles 33, 6. Also, it got this bad. He caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. These guys would sacrifice their kids. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. It's on and on and on and on. All right, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I'll tell you why it is such a big deal that these guys did or did not do what was right in the sight of the Lord. And I'm going to read you Deuteronomy chapter 6, and let's start with verse 1. The children of God had been in captivity in Egypt for hundreds of years. They've been captive, locked up, slaves. And God comes with Moses. Everybody seen the Ten Commandments? The story there, Moses comes and delivers these people, and God takes them to a promised land, and this is the deal. Deuteronomy 6 is a huge passage in the Scripture, beginning with verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it. Now, why? Why is it important to do the right thing? Look at the first thing he says. That it may be well with you. Because I'm not saying this across the board, but let me tell you something. A lot of the trouble you got, you brought on yourself. You do the wrong thing, you're going to reap wrong stuff. You say, why is God doing all these things? A lot of stuff's happening in your life is not God doing jack to you. It's you doing it to you. You make bad decisions, you're going to reap what you sow. That's a negative and a positive statement. That it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, verse 4, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And he gives them a command. Jesus quotes this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Now, if you're a parent, listen to verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You talk to your kids about this stuff. Why? Because if they don't understand it, if they don't hear it from a kid, they may not get it ever. Most people who become a Christian by the time they're 18 years old. The percentages drop off the charts. The number of people who past 18 make a decision to follow Christ. Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. In other words, write it on your hand, put it on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If you have any Jewish friends, have you ever noticed their businesses or their homes, when you walk in, there's a little plaque nailed to the door on the inside of their house or on their business. Anybody ever notice that? That's where this stuff comes from. Verse 10, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now listen to what they got. And I don't, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying if you just do what God wants you to do, you're going to be rich and everything's going to be great. I don't think everybody who does what God wants them to do ends up rich. I got too many things in the Bible where you have John writing the book of Revelation up to his ankles in all kind of sewage. I mean, that doesn't sound like where I want to end up, okay? In a prison up to my ankle, my knees or waist in this stuff. This, he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, verse 10, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant when you have eaten and are full. Then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now guys, I'm going to camp here just a second. Be careful. You go back a couple hundred years ago and look at this country and the reasons it was even exist. People fleeing for some kind of religious freedom. And it was a struggle. Our ancestors, who we can't even name, came over here, blazed trails, cleared land, did all this stuff. And you know what? I'm born into a house I didn't fill. I'm drinking out of wells I didn't dig. I'm living out with all this stuff that I did nothing to acquire. And you know what the danger is, he says? Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. We forget, and we just take it for granted. Well, we're Americans. We deserve this. You don't deserve anything. It is a gift from the hand of God and a lot of the people who have gone before and made it possible. Don't take it for granted, and God warns them about that. Verse 13, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him and take oaths in His names and don't get caught up with the other gods. Verse 14, doing what everybody else is doing around you. Look down in verse 18. This is what he told them from the get-go before all that stuff I read you about the kings. Verse 18, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. He said, do the right thing. Why? That it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to cast out all the enemies before you as the Lord has spoken. It starts with obedience. Now people say, all right, then you're just saying all we got to do is just keep all the rules. Remember, these people were not just obeying to obey. They had a relationship with this God, a covenant relationship. God had made a deal with them and said, look, I'll do my part, you do your part. It's even better than that for us, because God comes along in the person of Jesus Christ and says, here's the deal. I'll die on a cross. I'll shed my blood, suffer and die there, be buried and raised from the dead. And now I'm going to offer you free the gift of eternal life. You don't have to do anything but say thank you or no thank you. Thank you and take it. No thank you and walk away. I've sat with two different people that come to my mind and explain this whole deal about the gospel. And you know what the great relief is, and whether it's me talking to somebody or you going home to see your mom, your family, I don't have to talk anybody into being a Christian. With both of them, I sat there and I said, here's the deal. Here's what Jesus did. Here's who He is. Here's what's happened. Here's what's available to you. You got a choice to make. I can't make you do it. I can't shove it down your throat. But you can choose to accept and receive this gift of eternal life and your whole life and eternity be changed, or you can walk away. It's your choice. Now that is an ominous point to get to with somebody. Now see, my fear for a long time, the reason I didn't have those conversations, you know what I was afraid of? That they look at me and say no. And you know why I was afraid they'd say no? The reason most salespeople never ask anybody to buy anything is because they're afraid they're going to say no. It's not me they're saying no to, it's the product. Don't take it personally. I can't save anybody. If they say no to me, whatever. I got it. If you want it, you can have it. If you don't want it, fine. That's your choice. But don't look at me one day when God goes, how do you plead? It's that thing Richard was talking about. That's it. It'd be too late to point. All right, I want you to look at one more place, and that's 2 Kings chapter 18. And I'm going to pull one of these stories about one of these kings. 2 Kings 18:1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And verse 3 sums it up. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. How many people suffer, pay one way or another, when I do or do not do what is right in the sight of the Lord? I see, when it's a king, when it's a leader of a country, lots of people pay. You say, well, I'm not the king. You're ruling something. You're ruling somewhere. And it's having an impact. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars. In other words, he tore down everything. You know what he tore down? And I don't want to get too far off on this, but he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. If you go back and read about this bronze serpent in the wilderness, it was a powerful symbol that God used. But these people started, it says here, for until those days the children of Israel burnt incense to it. They had created some kind of an altar, some kind of an icon. You know why I don't think we really have anything, any pieces of the cross and all that stuff? People say, well, we found this and that. Because we start worshiping this debris more than we worship God. We get all caught up in some religious symbol, and we get so freaked out by some symbol, we think it was, you know, touched Jesus or was around. And I know people take this stuff very seriously, God. That's just debris. Worship God, period. And this king says, man, these people are focusing more on these literal. They didn't make something up. They really had the bronze snake that Moses had made and put up. Tore all this stuff down. Verse 5, look what it says here. Simple stuff. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. He trusted God. So that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. Verse 6, how did he do this? For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, that's what he says to do. That must work for some reason. He trusted God, held fast the Lord, did not depart from following him. He kept his commandments. And what happens in verse 7? The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. The Lord was with him. Now, think about this. You get out there this week or look at last week. Do you ever have these moments where you just think, you know, I'm out here all by myself? I heard an example. If you've got kids or ever been a lost kid, you go in a mall, and I'm going to tell you what, guys, this will freak you out if it's ever happened worse than anything on the planet. You get in a crowded mall Christmas sometime, and you got a 2 or 3 or 4 year old kid, and you're walking around, and you look up, and they are gone. Now, it used to be you just thought, okay, we'll find them, security will find them, everything will be okay. That was back when people found children and turned them into security. Nowadays, people find children and take them home, and you never see them again. That child has no idea what's going on. They're lost and don't even know it sometimes. And so you stop a minute and say, you know, God, every time I walk away from you, and every time I wander off this path and get out here by myself, I get into trouble. I do the wrong thing. I end up in the wrong place with the wrong consequence. I'm tired of this. Let's not go over there. Let's just stay, you and me, together and do the right thing. And doesn't that sound very simple? What happens when we walk out of this building and get out there in real life? We lose our minds. And people say, hey, let's go do what we used to do. We go, oh, okay, let's go do that. That never worked before, but maybe today it'll be different. Let's go party. Let's go get wasted. Let's go pick up some chicks. Let's, you know, whatever people are doing out there. And we end up flat on our butt or back or something and go, what am I doing here again? Do the right thing. You say, well, I'm tired of doing the right thing. Well, I got a verse for that too. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6, New Testament. One of the reasons this church is called Reunion, you want to know why? Because Sundays to me are not where we live. It's like a family reunion. And we get together and go, hey, what's going on with you? How was your week? Oh, not too good. Well, mine was great. Man, I'll call you this week. Let's see what's going on. And we'll, you know, try to encourage somebody. And then we go back to our homes and our lives and we live and do it again. Then on Sunday we come back and we have a reunion again. You don't live here, guys. This would be a sweet deal in some ways because you don't get a hit as bad here. But you get out there and you get clobbered. You're by yourself. The Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's not just to go to church because everybody will be happy. It's, I mean, make somebody else happy. It's about yourself. Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Do not be weary in well-doing. It's maintenance. But I spent yesterday morning, we have a leak. Now, it's not a bad leak, but it's a leak in the power steering. And in about a week, every week you have to fill it up with a new bottle. Okay? Now, this is getting a little old. Because it's making the garage full of junk, you know, and I'm filling it up. It starts making that grounding noise, you know, But I haven't fixed it. Finally yesterday, I'm like, you know, we're going on a trip. And everywhere I went to get this thing fixed, well, how bad is it leaking? Well, about a bottle a week. Oh, you'll be all right going on a trip. I'm like, you know, buddy, I'm here to get my deal fixed. I don't want somebody telling me not to get it fixed. Fix the leak. Why? Because I don't want to get on the highway with three little kids and a wife in this heat, and the thing blows somehow. Now I'm really not going anywhere, and there's nobody to fix it on a Sunday afternoon. Now, it's a pain. It takes hours. But you know what? I got it fixed. You say, well, so what? It's the right thing to do. And it takes time. You say, well, I don't have time to do the right thing. Let me tell you something. You don't have time not to do the right thing. Because you say, well, I'll put that off later. If you don't maintain this thing as you go, you are going to have a disaster on your hands, and it's coming. Disastrous stuff when I don't do the right thing. You say, but nobody's doing the right thing. So what? Are they happy, beautiful, peaceful lives? No. You say, well, yeah, they are. You sit them down and talk to them and ask them if everything's going great in their life by not doing the right thing. Even if the appearances are there, guys, in your heart, there's something that just doesn't work. Do not grow weary in well-doing. There's another one, if you're writing this stuff down, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. As for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. Now, what is this all about? Historically, there is consequence to not doing the right thing for kings in the Old Testament and for people right here today. And I can assure you, come halfway through a year, hot summer, it's just going, life keeps going, you're like, God, I don't have time for this. I'm just going to make the best of it. Let's just wing it, God, and see what happens. Nothing good happens winging it, guys. You got to take it day at a time, one day at a time. Say, God, my way doesn't work, your way does. I'm changing my mind again. That's repentance. I'm going to do what you say, not what I say. Now, I'm going to tell you where the devil will absolutely wear you out. You know where he comes after me? You get hit and you go down. And he says, you know what? You're just a loser. Just play the religious game. You can fool people. Stay down, you get up. You know that song you heard on the radio? We get up, we fall down. I thought that was an AA song for a long time, but it turns out it's a Christian song. This song says, we get up, we fall down. We get up, we fall down. You know what? You get tired of living that way. God, why can't I just stay up and maintain this? I keep going down. If you go down, get back up. Because the second you stay down, you'll get eaten alive. You say, but I'm tired of confessing the same sin over and over and over again. Sooner or later, you're going to get so tired of confessing the same thing over and over again, you're going to stop doing the same thing over and over again and pick a new sin. I'm not recommending that either. Somehow the devil goes, well, that one's not working anymore. Let's graduate to this one. Don't give up. Do the right thing. It pays off in the end. I sit down and talk to girls. They do the right thing. They do the right thing. Single girls, right thing. Married women, married men, do the right thing. You know what? The devil will wait 20, 30 years to knock your head off. Isn't it amazing in the world and in life how that it can take years to build a great mansion, great cathedral, and in a matter of hours, a fire can just destroy it. It takes years to build a great marriage, and I'm talking in seconds, it can be destroyed.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
You're a woman, you're trying to do the right thing. You get out with a guy and they wear you down. They wear you down. Every girl that comes to me now, I asked Rebecca this, said a friend's dating a new guy. I said, is he a Christian? You say, well, you some kind of Jesus freak? No, you know what? I care about these women. These women come to me and say, well, I'm dating a new guy. You know what I say? If you're going to date a new guy, get out there on the first date and just talk about Jesus. If he doesn't want to stay around you, then he ain't going to come back. And if he doesn't want to talk about Jesus, in the end, you got nothing else to talk about anyway. Well, I'll scare them all off. Well, let's get through the riffraff and get to the real deal. That'll just make it happen quicker. And I'd reverse that for the guys. You're going to go out with some girl, talk about what's important. You say, well, it's really not that important. Then you're going to end up with exactly what you asked for. And you're going to wake up with some person and go, now there's nothing. My job doesn't matter. All this stuff is not the answer. And I got nobody to talk to about the most important thing in my life. Cut to the chase up front. Do the right thing. You say, well, I'll die lonely. I can introduce you today to people who have been married, are married, third, fourth time, and are more lonely than you ever thought about being single. And sex isn't the issue. That hadn't happened in their house for a long time. But they're married, at least not with each other. Do the right thing. Do not grow weary in well-doing. And the devil's wearing me out, and he's going to try to wear you out. But the only way he wins is for you to let him. So if you're down, get back up and do the right thing.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.